Hello, welcome to Nintendo Nostalgia. We are finally back and we are really playing with power. I'm with my co-host Ryan Black. Guys, welcome back. We're so excited to be here for you. It's been a long time. I mean, honestly, to be honest, Ryan, we might be talking to no one right now.
Most likely.
we've been gone so long, and we're probably going to have to rebuild our listenership. But guys, if you are a longtime listener fan and you happen to click on this new episode that you see launched, please share the word. We're back. We're back. We're really playing with power. Ryan and I are, we've kind of like hit the reset on the whole podcast. And we both felt like him and I are in good place in life to where we feel like we can commit regularly every single week to make this happen. Is life easier? Maybe. Yeah. I think like priorities are set in place and are working well, but at the same time, you know, life's still busy. You know, like I had a rush here because I was getting out of school, picking up one of my kids, exercising real fast, and then picking up another kid and getting home and getting everything set up. So, you know, things are still crazy, but I feel like they're so managed, more manageable for me personally, but my mental state, my emotional being of everything that I had gone through in the past handful of years has really, you know, I've really felt like I just this year kind of like my old self. And I really honestly mean that. And that mentally, spiritually, am I perfect? No, I don't know if I ever will be, but I definitely feel like I'm my older self now. Ryan, they don't want to just hear from me. How about you, man? How are you doing? I'm so glad and happy to be back with talking with you. Yeah, man. Say hi to the crowd and what's up.
Hey, first I want to say happy Halloween to everybody. You know, it's our anniversary, and we'll get into that as the main topic of the show. But I'm doing all right. A lot of medical stuff still going on with Draco, but we're doing all right. The medical stuff has kept us from going and getting things done for the party we have coming up. We have a Halloween party after Halloween, just so that like it's kind of a last hurrah before heading into Thanksgiving and Christmas and finishing out the year. So. We're a little bit behind on the getting things ready and building the props and everything, but we'll get there. I'm having a good time at work. I love my job so much. I'm troubleshooting advanced issues and things and just knocking out of the park in a lot of ways. This past week was really tough, but we're hanging in there and doing all right. I finally have another team member on my team to work with, so that's helped out a lot with the workload. And I feel like I'm succeeding a lot more now, now that I have some help and it's not just one person running everything. So on that tier. So, yeah, other than that, nothing really new. I've been playing some video games here, but I think that's a good time to talk about what we are Radical Rexing about.
Oh, perfect segue, Ryan. Perfect segue. I guess I'll go first, just because I've maybe been absent from this show the longest, and I'm first things first. I've been radical rexing about just this show happening. I mean, Ryan and I, we've been talking about it since summer, and you know, we set a deadline. Let's start hashing things out and getting things planned. I mean, it feels like when this podcast first started, I mean, Ryan and I, we were able to talk and easily meet up and easily plan out the next 3 to 4 months. I mean, we have got it all mapped out of what we're going to do. And guys, it does. The emotions in my heart I feel right now are like when Ryan and I first wanted to start this podcast back in the Wii U days. And to me, that's exciting. And that means that the content you're getting from us is not forced. It's not not like just doing it to do it at this point. I feel like we have fresh energy and, you know, we will revisit old topics with a newer perspective. Cause I think perspectives change a lot and we'll continue on with stuff that we started, but never got to even finish or explore more. But I'm radical rexing about this show and doing it with you, Ryan. You know, ultimately this show is a great way for our friendship to continue to connect on a regular basis. You know, with the busyness of life, this, you know, the, I didn't want to do a podcast with anybody else but you, you know, and it was a way for us to reconnect in adult life. Cause I know our own schedules and lives, we get so hectic. I mean, we, you know, it would be, it's sometimes it's easy to go weeks, if not months, without really a direct communication. But this podcast, I feel like, really helps you and I stay connected weekly. Not just through passive text messages through our group chat or whatnot, but you know, I'm excited about that. I did just have my 33rd birthday back last Sunday. But
congrats, Saturday, old man.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, when this podcast started in 2017, I had just turned 27. So now I'm 33. Wow. That's insane. that is really insane. But the show, I'm excited about the show, excited about my birthday that just happened. You guys did get to come over. It was funny because it turned out a bunch of you guys actually couldn't come. We were just going to hang out. And then all of a sudden, like with the same day or the day or two, like two or three of you guys, like, hey, plans change, I can come. Like, okay. So I went from being afraid of like not having enough, or yeah, I went from like, okay, I got enough food, not many people. I'm like, okay, crap, I hope I have enough stuff for everybody when they come over. And we were just fine. You know, we played silly games. We played the trombone champ game. That was really stupid and hilarious. With Traven, he always loves to get the dumb games and that no one would ever play. And that was really funny. I got Spider-Man 2 for the PS5, which you probably never would have heard me say that 7 years ago when this podcast started, that I did get a PS5. I don't know if I've said that. I did get one back in like the winterish when there wasn't nothing on Switch, and I had a spare Switch around and traded it in and went towards getting this PS5, and got Ragnarok and I played God of War. And so I got Spider-Man 2 and I got Spider-Man 1 and with the Miles Morales stuff. And ooh, because I'm such a busy adult, all I've done with those games is watch my son play them. So he was so excited. He was like, oh, thank you so much, Daddy. I was like, you're welcome. They're my gifts. But okay. So, I mean, as a matter of fact, he's out there playing Spider-Man 2 right now, you know, and he's mm-hmm. four, almost five now. And he just, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing, but at the same time, he does some really impressive stuff for being so young. It's really fun to watch him interact with the game, and he just has a blast. He just loves beating people up. So so I got those. I got the Donkey Kong Lego set, well, one of them, and I'm gonna put that together. I got some shirts. I got Pikmin 4, and I did get Mario Wonder for Lindsay, actually, for like an early birthday gift for her, because Mario really is her jam. So I bought it for her last Friday. Her birthday's not till next month, but and we've been playing it together. So awesome. Haven't been super, we're like still in World 2. We actually might play it later on tonight, but that's what I've been radical rexing about. Oh, and the new Blink-182 album dropped last week. I had an amazing like birthday, everything at the same time. It's like wild. Really am in love with it. It's true return to form for Blink. I feel like a teenager again. I keep telling my students to listen to the album, and I'm just over the moon with everything right now. Even though if the only thing I wish I could change is I wish I could actually play my video games. I did get to play Pikmin 4 today during my prep period at work.
Cool.
But I didn't have anything to go on. And then like once you dive into it, it's like you start to get addicted, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's the same. That's kind of how life is for me right now. It's like I always have a hard time getting something going. Like, if I have to study for something, it's hard to get the ball going, and I put it off and put it off. But then once I start studying, then it's like I don't want to stop, and I'm just rolling down this hill and constantly studying as much as I can. It's the same thing with eating right and exercising. It would be hard to get all this funk, and then I start it, and I'm like so strict and good and hard to stop. It's the same thing with video games now. Like, it takes me forever to – I have a hard time being motivated to do something because like I don't want to do it and then be stopped by something. So like
– yeah.
If I try to play Pikmin 4 at night and I'm like really tired, I'm not really going to enjoy it or know what's happening. So I'd rather just not start it.
Yeah.
But today I really got to start it and dive in more. And like, I just was having a blast. I was like, man, this is so fun. This is why this game is fun. You know, this is why I'm glad I got it. So that is what I'm radical rexing about. What are you radical rexing about, Ryan?
Well, let's see here. I think lately the trend has been being a video game hoarder. I am building my backlog, you know, with collections of games, and you know, eventually I'll get around to playing them, but I don't have a lot of time to game other than, like, I've been kind of playing a lot of Pokemon Go, just on the go, and mm-hmm. walking around a lot. And the thing that was really driving me was there's a chance to unlock a second Master Ball, and so, like, I was really, like, grinding it out and finally got the Master Ball a couple days ago, and, you know, felt pretty accomplished by that. And then, of course, they launched with a bunch of, like, Halloween costume Pokemon, so I'm enjoying catching those new Pokemon and just kind of coming down off of the obsession with Pokemon Go, which I usually do around this time of year, and then it gets cold and I'm not too interested in it. Then I don't pick it up till next year when it gets, you know, warmer again. But I'm doing a lot of Pokemon Go. I've already identified my game of the year this year, Sea of Stars. I'm sure that's on many people's top contenders for game of the year. And I can say that with full confidence. There's no way that a Mario game could ever be my top game. I don't think. I would be surprised, but...
yeah, you hate Mario now, right?
Oh, no, I love Mario. I love 2D Mario, especially. I'm high hopes that this new Mario Wonder is going to be at least on par with Super Mario Brothers 3 and Super Mario World, and kind of capture that nostalgia. I'm really hoping. I have only played, like, one level. That's about it. Okay. So I've got a lot to do on that game. It's also something I want to play with Draco here and there as well, but I'm not going to, like, wait to play with Draco, but I do need to experience that multiplayer, what that's
yeah.
like. I've also picked up a couple other games here or there that I haven't had time to play really. Right. I don't know how you pronounce it, but Bata and Kaidos, I think is what it is. 1 and 2. I got that. I got the physical version from Play Asia.
Nostalgia, bro.
Pre-ordered that. I picked up Dementium.
You had this as kid, right? Did you have Bat and Kaitos?
No, it was Brad that had that one, and I was always talking to him about it because he was the Fire Emblem Bat and Kaitos guy, and I was like, man, I'd love to play this game, but I never got around to it. Like,
what was the weird obscure game you were always in?
It was Lost Kingdoms.
Lost Kingdom.
Okay. Yeah, and they were both card based games.
Right? Yes.
No, they're very different. But you know, they still had card battling system. Just one's more of an RPG. One's more of like a
I just remember them being out on the GameCube, and they both looked, I think they came out around the same time. They looked really, like, cool and unique, and, like, definitely made you grab your interest back in those Nintendo Power magazines that we had back in the day.
But yeah.
I never had either. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I also grabbed the Castlevania collection just for the heck of it, because it was super cheap and I had points to spend.
Nice.
I picked up Jules Watson's Renegade Kid. I picked up his Dementium game. They just recently got the rights to port it to Switch, so I'm like, sure, I'll grab that. It's a scary game. I haven't started it yet because I'm like not been in the mood to play a scary game. But and then I picked up Ace Attorney Collection. It's like a trilogy. And of course I got Mario Wonder. But other than that, I did buy for Jacob's birthday. I got him Inscription and Sea of Stars, so he's gonna get to experience that.
Yeah,
I personally have been through Sea of Stars. I've 100%ed it twice.
How long is the game? Base game?
I mean, like, maybe 40 hours.
Okay.
If you want to get everything, it's a little longer. Like, my two playthroughs have equaled to about 100 hours. So that's because I did everything and wanted to do everything again. And I wanted to get all I could out of the story and everything. So that's and a lot of the stuff is already done for you on the second playthrough. It's just there's an achievement that you can get. If you start the game again and get to a certain point in the game with that item that you have. So
right.
So I wanted to get all of that, and then I just was like, well, I'm already here. I might as well just finish the rest of the game. And I just love the story so much, and the music is amazing. You know, it's pretty game. The gameplay is just really fun. It's
right.
It's Paper Mario, or, like, you know, Mario and Luigi, or Mario RPG. It's that feeling. And it's really simple combat too.
That makes me excited.
They don't really encourage you to grind at all. Like, you maybe have to grind, but not really. No. If you avoid a bunch of enemies, like, eventually, like, you'll be a little underleveled, but it's not really meant to grind at all. And it's so good. Like, it feels really good. The music has touching moments. The story has, like, I don't know, four or five different plot twists that are just really, really really hit home.
Yeah.
You know, just I loved every bit of it when I played it first time, second time. Yeah, they did a phenomenal job. And I'm actually tempted to go play The Messenger because of that. Mm. Because there's tie-ins from The Messenger and Sea of Stars, since they're in the same universe, just many, many years apart, like hundreds of years.
So The Messenger's like, that's the ninja game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which I have, but I never beat. But that's really cool that they're connected.
Yep, yep. They're in the same world, and you'll actually, there's some area or two, there's an area or two in The Messenger that you'll visit, granted many years before, in Sea of Stars. You kind of set in motion some things, and there's a lot of Easter eggs and things that tie into that. So
wow.
They have just done a phenomenal job. It captures the old spirit of classical RPGs in a perfect way. And it's beautiful. Yeah, I hope that they can do more. They did confirm they're going to do some DLC, which I'm looking forward to. I'm wondering if it has something to do with the Vampire Rose or something else.
Right.
But yeah, I was worried at the end, getting to the end of that game, that they weren't going to wrap up everything, because like there's some things that I didn't do in the game. And some things that I like, oh, I wonder what that's about. I can't do anything with that. And then it just all wraps up so perfectly when you get through. There is a normal ending, and then there's a perfect ending, or a better ending. Mm-hmm. So collect those seashells. There's 60 seashells to get. And then mm-hmm. that pretty much unlocks the best ending. You have to basically play through the game all the way through, beat the final boss, then start your game again, and then that's when you're prompted to do the little things at the end, and the extra quests at the end just make it the perfect story.
Right.
Honestly, it's so good.
Cool.
But yeah.
That's awesome. Wow. I'm excited to dive into the game. I know you bought it for me. Again, like with all my games, I just haven't had time to play it. I think, you know, last time I really had time where I sat down was Zelda, and then that was over summer break, and
mm-hmm.
it's even weird being like a responsible adult. Like even when I do sit down and game, I feel in a way guilty. Like I feel like I could be cleaning the house, taking care of the animals, or doing something fun with the kids. If I'm there, you know, like there's like this form of guilt way. But that's
never
I guess,
feel guilty for self care.
Yeah, and I try not to. I just with Zelda. I mean, that was every day. I mean, I was waking up every day and I would play for hours on it. I felt like I wasn't making much progress too. That's because there was so much to do in that game. That's mm-hmm. that's another story for another time. But well, Ryan, I think let's not waste our listeners' time. Let's get into what this whole topic is about. What's the title for today, Ryan?
Today we are talking about Nostalgia of Time. We were looking back. We realized this is 7 years of the podcast. Crazy to think that we've been around that long. So we were thinking like, you know, this is like kind of that span of time between like, you know, young Link doing mm-hmm. his thing and then, you know, waking up 7 years later as adult Link. And like, you know, that's a lot of time. And,
yeah.
and you know, coming back to this podcast, you know, we've been appearing here or there, and thank you so much to Chris and Josh for carrying us, you know, through these times where with an episode here or there just to keep the show going. You know, this whole time we were technically not completely shut down. We had special episodes here or there and little things, you know, so we weren't like completely inactive, but, you know, we weren't around in any official capacity regularly at all.
Right.
Now we're ready to get back into it and, you know, ready to take on Ganon and Free versus Zelda. So we just kind of want to take a look back at the years and the nostalgia that we've had all this time, and really appreciate the listeners, the community that we've built that's still going strong on Facebook. And then, you know, just talking about like where we've been and how we've grown in that time. So
sure. And like I just want to echo what Ryan said. You know, we had Chris and Josh on the show regularly, and they were here to help fill a void and a gap that we were going through. Moving forward, you know, it will just be Ryan and I regularly, with I'm sure Chris and Josh may dip in here and there as a guest. And we're just really trying to take the show back to its roots of what we started back 7 years ago, when it was a little bit more simplified, less complicated to handle, and where you get a guest that we consider part of our NOS crew or a guest from another show, dipping back in on the show and covering a game or a topic with us. And you know, you'll see that we will have that. But we are taking this back 7 years ago, and we are starting, kind of again, fresh. Again, it's like a brand new, it's kind of like Blink-182, their new album just dropped. It's kind of like a rebirth for their band. And I view this as like a rebirth for us in this podcast. And, you know, we're excited. We really are excited to do this. Let's think back when this podcast first started. The idea came because I was working in a warehouse at the time, and I could listen to everything on earth, and because I literally just work mindlessly with your headphones in, I was getting bored of music. You know, you can listen to music so much, and I didn't have Spotify. When did Spotify even come out? I don't think it was a thing back then.
I don't think so.
Because
we had Pandora still, we had Pandora at the time. I think that was probably the closest thing.
Yeah, I was using my iTunes regularly. I barely use iTunes now, but because it was Spotify, I would discover so much. And I remember like being limited on what I had to listen to. Scarcity. I'm teach economics now, in case you didn't know. Music was scarce, but I started to find podcasts through Apple, and I discovered Nintendo Dads. I discovered the IGN one, Nintendo Voice Chat. I discovered YouTube shows like Game Explain. I discovered, and I heard, so when I was listening to the Nintendo Dads, which was a regular one I listened to, I heard a guest on there named Bobby Pauls, and he was the Nintendo guru, and I really loved what this guy was saying. He was really entertaining, so I followed his stuff, and I reached out to him just on a whim. Most of the time, you know, you try to take, you figure what the heck, you know, most of the time you reach out to people, they don't get back to you, and I was not expecting him to ever reach back out, and he did, and he met with Ryan and I, with his buddy Sean Capri, who you guys have heard both of them on the show in the past. And they met with us. They helped us figure out a name. They really took us under their wing. And forever, Nintendo's Nostalgia will always be grateful for both of them. You know, you talk about what has happened over the past 7 years. Unfortunately, Bobby Pauls has passed away now because of the COVID era. And it really does still seem surreal. I honestly just thought about him last week or this week. I was thinking, like, I wonder what he would be thinking right now with, like, what Nintendo has done since then, and the games that have come out, and where Nintendo's going. I am sad that we live in a world now where we don't get to hear his opinions and see his excitement or his frustrations towards stuff.
For me.
You know, it is so devastating to have lost someone like him. I think anybody who has listened to this family community of podcasts, they know who Bobby Pauls is. Thankfully, you know, Sean is good and going strong and still tries to carry on that torch. But, you know, we will forever miss you, Bobby. But it's because of him that this show got going. Him and Sean both helped us figure out the name Nintendo Nostalgia, which I think was a clever name. You know, when you think of Nintendo and you talk about the nostalgia, I hope our podcast pops up in your brain. That was the intent. You know, like, oh yeah, you know, you can go back and listen to these episodes. I know we have friends of the show that have been re-listening to all the old episodes because they've missed the show and they've missed the format. And I just, you know, I updated a buddy of mine that hey, we're recording our first new episode back tonight, and he is just so giddy, you know, and it's exciting, and we're excited to be back doing this. But, you know, that's how we started, and it's weird that we started in the Wii U days before. When we started, Ryan, this podcast really started, it started during a time that I was really frustrated with everybody else because everybody hated Nintendo. Everyone, it was back to the doom and gloom talk of Nintendo just needs to go third party. They need to sell out and stop making systems. The Wii U sucks. The Wii U has issues. And it was a time that no one, it was almost, I was embarrassed, but you had to like, I was very defensive when I talked about Nintendo because I was like,
yeah, and everybody was down on Nintendo. Like, Nintendo should sell out. You know, Nintendo should go and, you know, give their games to Xbox and PlayStation and go third party and not make any more systems and just really, really crapping on Nintendo. And it's like, Nintendo's not down and out. Like, they are the game-making kings. Like, they are good to go, and they still have ideas. Like, Nintendo has not exhausted all of its cool ideas, and they hit it home with, you know, the Switch and everything, but
absolutely.
But still, like, it's really, really cool that we had an era where Nintendo sucked, and we were able to be the Nintendo fans. We've always loved Nintendo. We were able to have a voice, and that's what this platform was, this vehicle that we used to speak our voice and to talk about the things that we loved from the past and bring people, like, into the new again. Like, if they've lapsed on Nintendo, but like, hey, Nintendo is not for kids. Nintendo is for everybody.
Uh-huh.
And like, drive that home. Yeah, they have kiddie games. Yeah, they have games that may come across as kiddie, but the difficulty spike or the challenges that you can do, you can make it as easy as you want or as hard as you want. And like, it's accessible. And that's the big thing. Like, and it's for all audiences. It's not just for, you know, mature people who want to shoot each other online with the best graphics. And eventually Nintendo is going to get to that point where the technology is cheap enough. They're going to have amazing graphics. It's going to look, you know, it's going to, you know, match with everybody else. But it's really what they bring to the table with innovation and fun that really makes them shine. And we will shout that out forever, I believe.
For sure. And, you know, I don't think, back to your statement, I don't think we're too far off with a Switch successor. And it's kind of ironic that it's poetic that we're actually coming back as a show because I mean, the rumor mill is spinning, and you know, we are on the cusp of a new generation hop, you know, Switch 2, codename, whatever we're going to call it. That's what's cooking right now. And that's what people are talking about with rumors. And that's what was happening with in the Wii U days. It was premature, killed off because of how bad it was doing. But we were talking about NX all this time. The rumors, what is NX? No one knew, you know. And then we finally had that reveal in October, and that was exciting too. Because if you remember, Nintendo had just gone away from doing live events, and it was kind of like a bummer. You know, we felt like Nintendo was really down and out. They were not doing a live event, E3, and then they started to do. That's when they were starting to do their directs, and it was really cool to see them do a live event, show off the Switch and to show off the games. And man, we've come so far since then. The Switch, all the games they showed at that press release, the Switch is, they're out, and we're well beyond that and have sequels to those. And if they made sequels, and it's wild. The Switch is a monster of a machine. It's like, you know, it's the best selling console on the market. Nintendo looks so different than they did when this show started. And I hope that continues, you know. I really do. Because I think if it does, you know, even though the Wii U years were hard and you can learn a lot from them, we don't like to have to go through them. So I hope we don't have to go through that.
Yeah, I really, really love that we got to see, you know, Nintendo become top king again. Like, literally, the Switch has all of my favorite games on it. Like, literally, from growing up, like, there are maybe, like, one or two franchises that haven't made it onto the Switch in some form or fashion. And I'm blown away every time they announce my favorite game. One of my favorite games, you know, in different points of my life is coming to the Switch. And Like, they just brought all of the best stuff out. And the big part is the third parties backing Nintendo and getting their everything on the system because they can play it anywhere. It's something that none of the other consoles are doing. And you could just, you know, could play modern gen games anywhere you want.
Yep.
And enjoy those things. Like, and however you want. If you want to put it on the TV, you can. So just, it was just the perfect storm, you know, and even boosted. Like, I don't think Nintendo would probably be doing as well as it is now if, you know, COVID hadn't happened and everybody jumped on the Animal Crossing train and got Switches. That was another boost. Like,
well, I mean, luck was on their side, honestly.
Yeah, it was the best timing, like, to have something to do when you're stuck at home and can't go anywhere. And, you know, and if you wanted to go on the go, you could still take the Switch on the go. You don't have to sit on the TV all day. You can take it, you know, take it and lay in bed and play a little bit before you go to sleep. And you can, you know, take it on the train ride or the bus ride or what have you. Like, you can just literally make your game time to fit in wherever you need it. Whatever you need to self-care and you need to space out for a second to de-stress, Nintendo's right there. You know, you can play it and you're good. So it's
right.
It's wonderful to see, like, you know, we grew up with Game Boys and things. Like, we had batteries we had to figure out, you know, or charging things. Or before that, you know, we had to have come up with lighting along with batteries. And so, like, you know, we've had those things. And the rechargeable batteries got better and better and better.
Can I just say, I'm glad we live in an era where I don't have to buy batteries regularly because they are so expensive at the store.
Yeah, they are. Oh, my goodness.
Like, always think about buying a pack for, like, a remote or whatever to have. And I'm like, I don't want to spend $25 on a pack of batteries.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. And, like, you can get by with going to, like, the Dollar Tree and picking up a pack of batteries, but it's not going to last you that long. Like, you're going to get, like, maybe a week out of both, like, both the batteries you get if you go two batteries each or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's really awesome that Nintendo was able to come up with a battery, and several of their devices now have had a battery that lasts, you know, 80 plus hours. And, and even with the Switch, that's enabled them to do long sessions with the Switch without having to plug it in. Like, it's actual play session length instead of just like, oh man, I didn't get to finish this part because my battery's dying.
Right.
But now you could just sit and actually complete that part and feel accomplished. Like, oh, I still have some battery left. I can save this for later. You know,
or even if the battery dies on you, you know that the game will start right up where it left off.
And that's another thing too. Like, instant jump right into the game. You're right there again. You back out to the home menu. You put it to sleep. Whatever. You come back to it. You're right where you left off. There isn't any loading. Like, you just boom. There you are. And it's just revolutionary.
It is. And the next system has a big bar to meet. It's going to have to meet that. And then it can't rely on new bells and whistles to, like, make up for not having some of the stuff that the Switch has. I really feel like it has to bring what the Switch has with the bells and whistles to make it to separate itself.
I would say the thing that Nintendo really needs to do outside of just being their awesome selves is to make sure that they make this system easy to develop for, easy to port the next gen games to that system in some way, whether it's, you know, 4K upscaling or whatever. Like, as long as they can, like, do minimal effort to get a port working on Switch and be day and date is going to be the big thing that keeps them, their success rolling.
Yeah.
And you know, I still think this is going to be considered the Switch family of systems. So we're probably going to see too, like, whatever the Switch 2 is, Super Switch, whatever it's going to be, like, it's going to be under that Switch banner. And, like, Switch is probably going to be the biggest Nintendo console ever. Like, just the family.
I think it will be like an iPad approach. You know, the iPad didn't necessarily replace the first iPad. It's just the next iteration of the family. iPad 2. It's the same thing, but with better scales. I think they really will try, or like our cell phones. You know, I think it'll be more like that.
They've confirmed it's still going to be a hybrid. So, I mean, that's good. They're not going to, like, cannibalize that success that they have. It's just like, what are they going to do that's going to be unique with it, if they do anything unique with it? Or is it just going to be like, you know, it's an OLED upgrade, but not really. It's more like just upscaling in 4K. Like, okay, cool. But is it going to have the Joy-Cons that are, you know, have their pros and cons?
Funny. See what you did there.
But
I like that, you know, when we, again, let's hop back when we first started as a show. I remember game planning, like, episodes and what we were talking about, and I don't know if you remember this, but I remember talking, we had an episode, I think it might have been like within the first 5 or 10, but it was what games do we want back on Switch, or what franchises do we want back on Nintendo? It was all about that, because everyone had left Nintendo, and for so long we hadn't had a certain amount of games and franchises. And we talked about Dragon Ball Z. We talked about Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the two big ones I remember being on that one. I can't remember. I know we talked about more, but definitely those two. And I remember being, we talked about like the classic, the the Disney Collection classic that I think to this day still never came to Switch.
But no, we never got this.
Bizarre and weird and really stupid on their end. But I remember we talked about what collections we wanted. And I said I wanted a Nintendo Switch collection so bad. I remember in 2017 just salivating at the mouth of thinking about having all the Ninja Turtle collections of the 2D games
mm-hmm.
all in one package. And here we go. I mean, and
here it is.
I'm so sad that we were not doing things regularly at the time, and we just couldn't. But I mean, it happened. It happened last year, folks. It happened, and we have a new Ninja Turtle 2D game that's modernized, and we have all the old games. My son was playing it today on the way to school. He beat the arcade again of TMNT Turtles in Time, and he was stoked about that. But you know, it's like, we got that, and we got so many other collections. The Castlevania collection you just bought. And guess what? Jurassic Park is getting a collection coming out this November. And like, it's got all the games like that I loved playing with Traven as a kid and the Game Boy version that I got for Christmas back in the day. Like, when the Switch, we talk about the Switch, like, man, it really has fulfilled almost all of our dreams. We got GoldenEye on the system. Games that we never...
Yeah, what even? Like, it's so cool. And
Banjo-Kazooie are on the Switch. Like, the impossible has happened for multiple occasions.
And that's the crazy thing. It's not just Nintendo classics. No, like, we have games from, you know, PlayStation and Xbox coming over, and you get to play those. Nothing like Halo or anything like that, but, you know, like, Stubbs the Zombie was a big one on Xbox for a while. It was fun.
Think about all of the Square Enix love. Square Enix was nowhere on Nintendo for years.
The first two Monster Rancher games from the PS1 era on the Switch. What even? Like, what is that? Like, how did that happen? How did that come over to Switch? Like, what?
We have all the mainline Final Fantasies, all the stuff that I used to, like, as a kid, like, man, I wish something like that could be on Nintendo. It's all there. I mean, I know they're the older games, but they're there. And
you got classics, you got modern things, like, you know, Nier Automata was a huge game. I want to say it was a game of the year at some point, or it won many, many awards, you know, especially with music and everything. And, you know, that they were able to port that to the Switch, like the miracle workers that were able to port some of these games to the Switch, like, flawlessly is amazing. And I'd love to see, like, someday a documentary about how, like, that was made possible. And that's what I want to see carried forward is people to be able to bring that to the new Switch console as well. And Capcom has also been supporting with all their Mega Man collections and everything. Even brought, you know, the Battle Network games as a collection. Like, they're just doing everything there.
I mean, you throw it some at the wall and everything stick to the Switch.
Yeah. It's a perfect family system. You can play with a bunch of people. You can play with just single person. Like, it's so versatile to include everybody. And you have, like, those party games on there too, which, you know, Nintendo has always had party games with Mario Party and everything, but you've got Jackbox joining on there as well.
Yep.
And, you know, you've got your larger, like, party games, I guess, where you have, like, Among Us and Fortnite and, like, those big ones like Rocket League, all of those big, like, massively multiplayer online games, that are, you know, you just play in arenas, or you got Arena Battlers, or you've just got the, you know, looter shooters, and you've got every genre on the system there.
Right.
And you're not going to be left wanting when you're looking for games on the Switch. There is so many things to play, and for everybody's interest, even the weird ones, like, it's all there. Like, you want to play Barbie, you can play Barbie. You know, you want to play adult anime games, you can do that. Like, it's all there.
Yeah. And you just think about all the life that the Switch has just, like we said, it's revitalized so much. Like, Banjo-Kazooie got put in Smash. King K. Rool got put into Smash. And now people are clamoring for King K. Rool in more games. Like, he's relevant again. Banjo-Kazooie merchandise is still relevant. We still have a new game, which is, you know, out of Nintendo's hands, unfortunately. But their game's on the Switch. And, you know, I used to dream about, and it, the Banjo-Kazooie just being able to be played in a portable mode, and it's so surreal. You know, I turn it on just to look at it because I'm like, I can't believe this is still a thing. And it's there, GoldenEye 64 controllers are wireless. It's fun. You can play online with it. What else? Oh, you know, we talk the remake. I mean, we've been getting HD remakes. Mario RPG is finally back. You know, that in an HD remasterful way, that looks beautiful. That'll be here around the Christmas season.
The Mario collection, you know, like the 3D collection.
The 3D collection, everything. And the Wii U got all their games ported over. So, you know, Nintendo did that to buffer out things, was to port Wii U games, which there's still a select few that are not on there, which is weird. But overall, I mean, we pretty much got the whole main generation of Wii U on Switch, which makes the Wii U almost obsolete. Almost. Yeah, not for the entirely, most part. But yes.
The only thing it's missing is Miiverse. I mean,
Miiverse. And I mean, we don't have the Zelda Twilight or Wind Waker HD. I would love to have those. But
I have a feeling they're probably going to come with the new one, with the new Switch. We're probably going to see those in a collection or something like that. Maybe a 3D collection, which would be really cool.
You mentioned the Mario 3D collection. We got Sunshine. First time playable since the GameCube on the Switch.
Yeah.
Not just that. We got Metroid Prime HD on the Switch. Metroid, first time, like, I guess it came on the Wii, but like HD-ified. It looks so beautiful. It's like one of the most beautiful games on the Switch. Ryan, like, the Nintendo we knew when this podcast started has just totally done a 180, and they're on top of the mountain again, and you know, hopefully they stick the landing well with the next console, because they're on a roll, and I would hate to see them fumble the football and go backwards a bit. But overall, I'm really happy with the Switch. So I guess, you know, this episode is not just about the Switch past 7 years. It's about us. And about, you know, we planned a lot of things around the Switch, obviously, and Nintendo, but you know, this podcast has grown with the Switch, and I think that's really cool that we can say that.
It's been cool to build a community with people. We have friends that we've, you know, come to know and love and enjoy company and hanging out with and chatting with from this community that we've created with Nintendo Nostalgia, and just loving Nintendo, but also just sharing life together. And you know, this new people, new friendships we've made, you know, Chris, Josh, it's really awesome to just, you know, live life with them and talk to them and chat and check on each other and see how everyone's doing. And the people in the community, you know, just we're always talking, you know, about the things that we love and nostalgia that we love, sharing our Switch stats and what we've been playing and things that we've been loving. And it just keeps on going and it keeps on giving. And, you know, we get to know each other better and our loves. And, you know, it's created these connections for people, not just for us, but for everyone else. Like, you know, Josh went over to visit one of our fans in Kentucky. Like, he drove over there and met with him. He's a pretty cool streamer, you know, it's just really, really great to know that not only is Nintendo like part of the equation, but also like people love to hear us and hear what we want to say and have to say and trust our opinions. And it's cool that we have this platform to be able to do this. And it goes far beyond just, you know, the two of us hanging out. Like, we need that time together and geek out about, you know, the things that we love.
Yeah.
But to know that there's other people that hear us and want to be a part of that is just so cool. And I love my community that we have. And if nothing else, even if we're not recording episodes, they're always there. And we talk about the most random things and share jokes and, update each other on the latest deals and make sure everybody gets what they're looking for. And you know, just we help each other out and just love Nintendo and being geeky and playing games together. It's really cool. I know the hardest thing for us is to be able to get together and find a time for everybody to meet up and play games. And that was kind of testament to what we were having trouble with, getting everybody together in one place to record a podcast episode at a time that it worked for everybody.
Right.
And that was severely hurting what we were able to do as a podcast. And you know, people weren't always in the mood. And then, so we were like, well, let's just add a couple more hosts and then we'll have people that can fill in the gaps. And then suddenly got to the point where like none of us were really available at certain times and meeting the schedules, and it got more complex. And so we wanted to kind of simplify things and get down to just the two of us again. And once our lives are mm-hmm. able to be just blocked out and we can do this consistently, and we're finally back to that point. And we want to make sure that we keep this ball rolling. And, you know, it's so hard to schedule with so many people, and it's hard to get people together for, you know, events. Like you thought maybe no one was going to show up to your party, or maybe Traven was going to show up and that was all who could make it. And right. then, you know, a couple other people were like, oh yeah, I freed up, you know, my plans got canceled for the other thing. I'm going to come to your birthday party. And yeah. so like that, I mean, it could have been a lot less. And that's kind of what we were experiencing with the podcast, was just, you know, hey, what do you want to do next week? When do you want to meet? And then silence. And because we're just so busy and we're not even sure what the next day is going to bring. Right. And so it was hard to do with everybody. And then we also have a lot of technology issues. You know, even today, we're supposed to start at, what was it, 6 on the dot. And yeah. We had tons of problems getting technology and hardware and everything like working correctly and sound.
Yeah, so it's a little rusty.
It's even harder when you have people that have tech issues, or, you know, lower quality mics and headphones and things, and you have like sound bleeding through the mic from the headphones and other things like that. Like if you have background noise or tapping and things, it's just hard to get all of that to work. And the more people you add to it, the more time it takes. And
right.
And I'll be honest, like, I completely am burned out on editing the podcast. Like, I can't even think about it without, like, getting physically sick. I enjoyed it for the longest time, but then it just became such a chore, and right. edit every little click and every little everything. And it was just too much for me to be able to do and keep my attention. And I'd just lose my entire night, if not two nights, to do those things. And so we wanted to take a look. It's like, what can we do to make this simpler and go back and really, you know, make this fun again, you know? Yeah. And it's to a point where, like, I'm even starting to feel a little bit like maybe I could do some editing here or there, but I don't want to commit to it because I'm afraid to, because I know that, like, I still get kind of sick thinking about it. But
it's one toe at a time, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, Jacob's finally feeling the itch to do some of those things with editing. And we do have someone on in our back pocket that we can do to help with editing and things like that. And so, like, but we can't ask them to do that with so many different people and so many different times and so many inconsistent times that we right. meet, and try to get everybody together and never knowing who's going to be able to make it on episodes and everything. And even when we scheduled episodes, always things would come up.
Right.
So it's just we're taking it, you know, we've got a schedule through basically through January, I believe.
Yeah, up to like the end of January.
So we've got a good schedule set, and we have a plan. We have a couple guests lined up here or there, but we're ready to be consistent and to bring you, you know, the original nostalgia that this podcast brings to you, and, you know, with new experiences.
You know, not to mention, I mean, I think, you know, looking at the podcast and how we've, you know, we've experimented with 3 co-hosts, 4 co-hosts regularly, and just the original 2, you know, I feel like the show is based off nostalgia, right? And I think one thing that we were concerned about as a show internally was, you know, what if we're soaking up all of our nostalgia? What is there to talk about anymore? And the more cooks you have in the kitchen, the quicker that nostalgia well dries up. So, I mean, for example, we love our music episodes, and we will bring new music episodes to you in the future.
We better.
We definitely will. But when that first launched, it's like a playlist of 10 songs total, 5 from you, 5 from me. Well, yeah. Let's add 4 people total, and everyone's bringing their music. Well, then you realize how much that eliminates song tracks for future episodes, because now we have double the amount of people bringing double the amount of songs to a list. So then it I feel like the idea soaks up so much when there's so many people involved. And again, we're not saying any of this to like bash any of our friends. Like, absolutely not. No. We're just saying what this podcast has gone through the 7 years, from trials and errors that we've come across. You know, we've learned, you know, we've learned things, what works and what doesn't work. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, you know, I feel like now that we've had time off and away and we've reassessed what we think really makes this show the best it can be, I really feel that Ryan and I are going to be able to deliver a show that we used to, of that caliber, and if and hopefully even better. With fresh ideas and excitement, you know. I'm excited to edit the podcast. The reason, like what Aaron said, it got so hard to burn out is because the more people there, more editing you have, the more technical issues there are to try to cover up and cut out. A lot of podcasts just put up the raw audio as it is, guys. We've never been that way. And I think it's the band life. You know, I used to be in a band and we wanted to have a clean track where we weren't going to just record something and there'd be a mistake on it. You know, we wanted, Ryan and I want to deliver a good production to where it sound like Disney made this podcast. You know, we want, I'm not saying we're that good. I'm just saying that we try to deliver a clean product to what we feel sounds good and we want to do it. And it just was getting harder and it was burning us out. But you know, overall, 7 years has come and gone. We've learned a lot, not just about the podcast, but about ourselves and about going through life. I mean, certainly, to be frank with you guys, I'm a bit embarrassed when I think back and look back during my divorce days of 2019 and what I was going through. I was airing my dirty laundry on the show and on social media. And today, I wouldn't do that. I've learned and grown from that, and I'm embarrassed that I ever did do that just because, you know, I don't really feel like it was the platform for that. And you know, I'm sorry that I put you guys through that too, but, I just feel like the Jacob who I am today is vastly different than the Jacob was then. I'm not entirely changed as a person. I've just been through a lot more. I've learned, I have different perspectives on things, and I try to handle things differently today than as a 33-year-old than I was when I was 27 when this podcast started. So, but you know, this is just the first episode back, and Ryan and I felt it was appropriate that we talk about where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And we are not joking. We are back regularly, and we're back playing with power more than we ever have. And you will be getting regular episodes every week. And that is the intention, and that is what we plan to follow through on. And we'll make it happen. So, really, Ryan, I don't have much more to say. I just know that we've got so much planned. I'm excited to talk about old games. I'm excited to talk about current games. I'm excited about connecting current games to old games. That's going to be an awesome ride, guys. And I don't, just like Blink-182, we're not stopping anytime soon. We're growing, and I hope that this podcast gets bigger than it ever was before. That is a goal of mine, but we're going to do it out of a way that's fun, in a way that's authentic and not forced and draining. So, Ryan, why don't you tell everybody where they can find us again to remind them, and hopefully that they can help spread the word and share it.
Sure thing, man. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We also have some presence on Amazon Podcasts and Pandora Podcasts, if they're still around. We also have a YouTube channel as well. We don't keep up too much on that, on keep it up to date, but we do have some videos that you can check out there. Some of our old school, OG episodes. You can find us on Facebook at Nintendo NOS. You can also find us on TikTok at Nintendo_NOS, on Twitter at Nintendo_NOS. I'm sorry, X now, on Instagram at NintendoNOSIN@gmail.com. You can also still call our hotline. We made sure that didn't go inactive, so you can call us at 317-969-5690. And I think that brings us to the end of the episode, Jacob. Thank you so much, all of our listeners, all of those who supported us all these years, all of our co-hosts in the past, all of those who have come and gone, and those who have left us. And, we miss you dearly, and we love you all. And thank you so much. And as always, later, Preston.
See you guys. We're glad to be back. We'll see you next week.